Thank you for joining the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Northwestern Division for today's Missouri Basin Conference call. This call is provided as a courtesy to congressional representatives, tribal, state, and local government officials, including levy sponsors, emergency managers, and the media. I am Eileen Williamson, and I will be your moderator. This call is recorded and placed on the Defense Video and Imagery Distribution Service for media reuse at www.dvidshub.net/unit/USACE-NWD. Your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. All lines have been placed on mute. To unmute your line and ask a question, press star 6. The forced mute function may not work on all phones, so if I ask, please use your phone's own mute function and do not place the call on hold. We will have a question and answer session at the end of the call. The agenda for today is as follows. From the NOAA National Center for Environmental Information, we have Doug Kluck. From the National Weather Service Missouri Basin River Forecast Center, we have Benjamin Siprell. And from the Missouri River Water Management Division, John Remus and his staff will provide an update of inflows, reservoir storage, and release plans. With that, I'll hand the call over to Doug Kluck.
Yeah, thank you, Eileen. And thanks to the Corps for inviting us, and thanks to everybody else for tuning in today. I'm going to give a brief overview of what's been going on across the basin over the last, 30 to 90 days, and then looking forward to about the same amount. So why don't we go to the next slide, please? This is the last 90 days, basically our winter. On the left, you see temperature anomalies, if you will, or departure from normal. Greens indicate below normal temperatures. Yellows, oranges, whatever, indicate sort of above normal temperatures for that about 3 month period, 90 days, beginning of December through about now. And most of the basin was below normal, slightly in many places, but a little colder than average, or a little colder than the rest of the basin as you get up towards Montana and North Dakota. If you look at the precipitation percent during that same period, you'll see a lot of sort of yellow to red, which means below normal in terms of precipitation, over much of the Missouri Basin states. You'll see some green areas, some purples, some blues, where precipitation was much above normal. The only caveat to all of this is that most of what shows up on this map is low elevation precipitation, not all, but mostly, and that this is our dry season for those lower elevations. So we don't expect to have incredible amounts of moisture during the season. We'll take it, don't get me wrong, but it's not our wet time of year. We're just moving into that now. The next 3 or 4 months are when we start wetting up, as we usually do in spring and early summer. But I guess I'll remark that those reds on there probably aren't good, because that's less than 50% of normal precipitation, even during a drier time of year. A lot of places, for example, didn't get a lot of snow this year and or rain. There are some green areas, especially Montana, especially in the eastern Montana, that got plenty of precipitation. Let's go to the next slide. So this is the last 30 days, and our memories aren't that short. Well, mine is kind of, but generally our memories aren't that short that we don't remember how cold it really was in Montana, I guess last week or the week before that, or maybe even the week before that. But generally February was very, very cold across most of Montana. You can see that in those purple hues up there on the left-hand image, very cold. And most of the basin, almost all the basin, did report below normal temperatures. In terms of precipitation, it's sort of the same map that we saw for the last 90 days, in that there isn't a lot of green, which means above normal precipitation, green to purple to blue, across the basin. There are places that did, but it's dominated mostly by below normal the last 30 days. So next slide. Just quickly, I know others will talk about this, and so I won't dwell on it, but the image on the left is the more or less current snow water equivalent in the higher elevations that feed the Missouri River Basin, Missouri River. And the image on the right is what it was in February, early February. So this is early March compared to early February on the right. And the oval is sort of the basins that we care about the most. You'll see that on average, things are close to, in most of those basins, around 90 to 100% or a little over 100%. There are a few that are lacking, but for the most part, I think the word is that precipitation or snowpack is about average, maybe slightly less than average. Next slide. Yeah, this is just an image and image of where the snow is and how much snow is on the ground when it comes, if you melted it. We call that snow water equivalent. And the gray areas are something like a trace of snow all the way up to about an inch of water. But really, it's really not very much, the gray areas. It does indicate there's snow, and that's pretty much new snow. There will be some more snow coming, as you'll see, over the next week or so. But for the most part, we never did get a really big, deep snowpack across the basin. So that's going to show up, and I'm sure the Corps will talk about that in terms of runoff, what has happened and what will happen in the future. Now, we could get some more snowstorms. Don't get me wrong. I'm blizzards and all that stuff. This is that time of year where that can happen. But it won't last long. And it's not like it's December right now. So, you know, sun angles very high, things will melt off pretty quickly. So, okay, plain snowpack. Then the next slide is, soil moisture. So a general look at this sort of modeled soil moisture images here. You can see a lot of the upper basin, we'll say Nebraska, South Dakota, and portions of Western North Dakota, as well as Wyoming, show some pretty big deficits in terms of what we're thinking the soil moisture actually is. We'll get a better indication of this as things thaw out and we look at, we look at thawed soils and we'll have a better indication from some of the indicators up there and some of the monitoring. But for the most part, things are below normal in terms of soil, which means any rains that we do get when the soils thaw, we'll go first to sort of filling up that soil bucket, if you will. All right, next slide. So now we're going to the outlook part, and this is the next 7 days of total precipitation. It doesn't indicate snow or rain or anything like that. It's just precipitation, whatever it happens to be. But it does look like that stripe across Nebraska is going to be a decent snowstorm there. Much of the Dakotas, however, in Montana, don't look like they're going to get much out of this system over the next 7 days. Some of the higher elevations look like they're going to get some, but mostly Montana, Colorado, that area. So nothing too phenomenal. I'll just put it that way over the next 7 days. Next slide. This is looking at the next week beyond that. So days 8 through 14 in March 13th or 19th. On the left, you'll see the temperature outlook. You'll see a big below blue out there in the west. That indicates a big trough, by the way, for those of us in the meteorology world. Indicates a big trough, probably a lot of a lot going on in terms of snow and rain on the coast. But it looks also, if you looked on the image on the right, some of that's going to translate through the Northern Plains and the Missouri Basin as a whole, because the probabilities have been increased as well in terms of precipitation over week two. So a fairly active pattern that we're going to be having, I think, across the basin. And a little bit cooler. We're leaning towards a little bit cooler, especially in the upper basin. With temperatures. So that's good for snow accumulation. Probably not going to stick around that long, though, unless it's in the higher elevations. Next slide. So this is the outlook just for the month of March. Since we're just barely into March, I guess we're 6 days into March now. This is the indication for temperature on the left, and it's a slight leaning towards warmer than normal across most of the basin. A little bit of equal chances of equal or above, below, and near normal as you go to the west. But for the most part, it doesn't look too hot or too cold. I'll just leave it at that. For the month of March, it's going to even out. And then in terms of precipitation for the month of March, we're looking at just a very slight above there in Montana. And then really nothing to write home about in the lower part or most of the basin in terms of precipitation, equal chances of above, below, or near normal in through March. And then the next slide. Yeah, it should be the seasonal. Yeah, the seasonal outlook, basically all of March, April, and May squished together and come up with averages. Well, temperatures in Montana are leaning towards being below normal for that 3 month period. The rest of the basin looks pretty much, like I just said, equal chances for above, below, or near normal. Doesn't mean it's gonna be normal. It just means that there's an equal chance and we don't have a lot of guidance on which way it's gonna lean, either way, or either warm or cool. However, on the precipitation outlook, one thing that we do notice when we have La Niñas, which I haven't talked about till this second, is that there's a propensity to get a kind of a dry area, if you will, especially in the spring, March, April, May, right? Spring across the high plains from central to southern. The central and southern plains tend to be pretty dry. And that's what's showing up here in terms of the probability of being dry. More or less from Wyoming down to the Mexican border. That's a pretty good correlation with that. So it wouldn't be surprised if we turned out a little bit drier than normal across that area where it's brown, shaded brown there. Wyoming, Nebraska south. Slight chances for above normal precipitation in far northwestern Montana as well, which may help. Equal chances everywhere else. Okay, next slide. I think it was my drought slide. Yeah, it's my drought slide. So the image on the left is the current drought monitor map. And there's quite a bit of drought across the basin. We've shown that in the soil moisture. We've shown that in the last 90 days. Some of this is a result of the dryness that we also had last fall. So it's sort of lingering, right? The red areas is worst. And the white areas show no drought, and the yellow is sort of abnormally dry, so it's not actually drought. I think what I want you to kind of look at is this D1 to D4 region up there, where it actually gives you a number. So this year it's 62.31% of the basin, 62% of the basin is in drought, D1 to D4, whereas last year it was 28%. So we're quite a bit drier for the basin as a whole than we were last year. And if you look at the image on the upper right, that is the change from last year, 52 weeks ago, the depiction of drought across the basin. So you can see where it's green, it actually got wetter, where it's brown and yellow and all those things, it got worse. Again, it all lines up pretty nicely with some of the maps that we've been showing already today. Then below that is the outlook for drought, and this goes through the end of May. So by the end of May, all that brown area across the Missouri Basin is not, according to the forecasters, is not likely to change much. Whereas the yellow areas is where drought development is expected. Again, high plains central high plains and southern high plains or sort of under the gun, if you will, in terms of getting dry during that period. Okay, next slide. All right, so key points in wrapping up here. Current El Nino La Nina condition is a weak La Nina, and it's gonna transition to neutral this spring, and likely through the summer, it's gonna stay that way, a neutral sort of position, if you will, when it comes to the equatorial Pacific, which is important. Plain snowpack, mostly gone, generally lacking the entire winter. Mountain snowpack, near average, maybe slightly below in some places. Increase of drought over much of the upper basin, especially. The outlook, short-term outlook, is for temperatures, slight chances for below normal over much of the basin, mostly focused on the upper basin and further west. Precipitation chances continue to be enhanced. So a fairly active pattern over the next week or two. Longer term, like a 3-month outlook, mostly equal chances of below, above, and near normal temperatures. Slight chances of below normal across Montana over those 3 months. And then leaning dry, Wyoming, Colorado, Central Plains, mainly equal chances elsewhere. So yeah, that's what I have to say. And we do have our next monthly climate and drought outlook March 20th. And there's the way to get into that if you want to listen to that. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Doug. And over to you, Ben.
Thanks, Eileen. And thank you, Doug, for that whole entire presentation. I'm going to just basically say a few additional words on top of what Doug just presented, to which I greatly appreciate. And I want to thank the Corps as well for inviting us to take part in these series of calls. So just with regards, reiterating some of what Doug showed, you know, the snowpack condition across the mountains are generally categorized as being slightly below average right now. And by this point of the winter, we've normally accumulated just over 80% of the snow water equivalent, just about a little bit over a month ago. Also, as Doug showed, we did not see or we do not see at this moment much plain snowpack to speak of. There is some additional snow, as Doug mentioned, forecast today into Friday across Wyoming into southern South Dakota and over into northern Nebraska and Iowa. But again, the plain snowpack was pretty much lacking this season. So that being said, with our water supply forecast, which we developed here and issued yesterday, our March numbers suggest that April through September mountain runoff values will be below normal. So for instance, with the Milk River at the Eastern Crossing, we're going to see roughly about 38% of normal runoff for that particular basin. For the Missouri River above Fort Peck, 73%. For the Yellowstone River at Sydney, 68%. And for the North Platte Basin, 73%, with the South Platte Basin at 69%. Doug showed earlier, you know, the U.S. Drought Monitor, which was released this morning, that has 62% of the Missouri River Basin in some level of drought. And that being said, the takeaway from that is that soil moisture conditions are pretty poor across much of the basin. But just to recall, even with the predominantly dry there has been some flooding since our last call. And as you may remember, in early January, we had that heavy snowfall that hung around for a few weeks. With some Arctic air lingering, that was followed by a 1 to 2 inch rainfall event at the end of January with a warm up. And that led to minor to moderate flooding along some of the tributaries across eastern Kansas and Missouri. And then we had a couple of series of snowfalls into February that gradually melted. That kept the soils moist in the lower portion of the basin, such that with the early March rains that we just saw about a week ago, that triggered minor flooding once again across eastern Kansas and Missouri. Now, the slide that you're looking at ahead of you, looking ahead, you know, our office issues a 90-day river outlook towards the end of each month. And so the most recent 90-day outlook was run in late February, and that covers the 3-month period from late February through late May. So on this slide, we could see the result of those river outlooks at over 400 locations that we monitor across the basin. So flood risk is denoted by the color of the particular river station, and green means less than a 50% chance for flooding, while orange being greater than a 50% chance for minor flooding, red for moderate, and purple for major. So our most recent river outlook indicates that the only area really with a greater than 50-50 chance of seeing flooding through late May is in eastern Kansas, as well as the state of Missouri, where that area predominantly has seen wetter soils. We've also seen recent rainfalls. So minor to moderate flooding is currently being outlooked. The risk of flooding between now and late May is dependent on the timing and location of any additional plain snow melt, rain on snow events, and just rain events in general. So just noting here, flood outlooks do not account for existing river ice or the potential for any ice jam related flooding, which we have seen from time to time this season with deep freezes and subsequent thaws, especially if memory serves for some folks here on the call. We've had some ice jam issues from Gavin's Point on southward with ice buildup. And with that recent warm up that we saw in late February, we actually had some ice jam issues that occurred across the Yellowstone and Milk River basins as well. So as we near the middle of this 3-month period that you're looking in front of you at this moment, which goes into April, we are also well into the thunderstorm activity timeframe for the lower basin. So that's pretty much going to be the main driver for springtime flooding in that area. On a final note, we'll be issuing our last official spring flood outlook for Thursday, March 13th, and that'll provide official Weather Service quantification of flood potential for this spring into early summer. That outlook will be based on the 3-month period ending in mid-June. And with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Eileen. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben. And over to John Remus and his staff.
Thank you, Eileen, and thank you, Doug and Ben. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I'm John Remus, Chief of the Missouri River Basin Water Management Division. Our office is responsible for regulating the Missouri River Mainstream Reservoir System. This is the third of our 2025 monthly stakeholder calls. I will provide some general remarks and then turn the discussion over to my senior staff for more detailed information. As always, I want to assure everyone in the basin that the Corps of Engineers remains fully committed to our flood risk reduction mission, protecting people and businesses when we can from significant runoff events that pose a threat to human health and safety. Further, it is important to understand that the volume, timing, and location at which runoff enters the system significantly impacts the timing and amount of water released from the reservoirs. Each runoff season or flood event is unique. Care should be taken when comparing one event to another. We at the Corps of Engineers understand the importance of the Missouri River in providing water for irrigation, municipal, and industrial uses throughout the basin. We operate the system to meet the water supply requirements of the basin to the extent reasonably possible. There is presently and will be adequate water in the reservoirs and in the river reaches between the reservoirs and below the system to serve all water supply needs. We do want to remind everyone that the Corps of Engineers does not provide or guarantee access to the water. Maintaining access to the water is the individual facility owner-operator's responsibility. Further, we will continue to meet our statutory obligations to operate the Missouri River's Mainstream Reservoir System for its authorized purposes, as described in the Master Water Control Manual. We will also continue to comply with all laws and the provisions of the 2018 Biological Opinion. Lastly, the runoff forecast and projected reservoir releases and pool levels that Kevin Stamm and Mike Swenson will be discussing are based on the best available information. Actual conditions may be different. This concludes my opening remarks. Thank you very much. I will turn the discussion over to Kevin Stamm.
Okay, thank you, John. And thanks, Eileen. The 2025 calendar year runoff forecast for the upper Missouri basin above Sioux City, Iowa is 22.1 million acre feet. That's 86% of average, and it is highlighted in red. Next slide. The below average runoff forecast for 2025 reflects current drier than normal soil moisture in the upper basin, below average mountain snowpack, and below average plain snowpack. As seen on this slide, we are expecting below average runoff during the high runoff periods of March through April, typically when the plain snowpack melts, and May through July, the months when mountain snowpack melts. Next slide, please. These graphics show the departure from normal snow water equivalent, or SWE. And SWE is the amount of water contained in the snowpack that would be available for runoff or to replenish soil moisture when it melts. The left image shows the plain SWE deficit in the eastern half of the Missouri Basin on February 6th, especially in eastern North Dakota and South Dakota, which historically maintain a seasonal plain snowpack. In the western half of the basin, plain SWE was above normal on February 6th. due to the early melting of plain snowpack in the upper basin on March 6th. In the right image, there is a snow deficit in northern Montana, North Dakota, and the northeast region of South Dakota. Snowfall that recently occurred in southern South Dakota, Nebraska, and Iowa is indicated by the positive SWE difference in the right image. Next slide. Mountain snowpack is accumulating at a below average rate in both the above Fort Peck and Fort Peck to Garrison reaches. The mountain snowpack in the above Fort Peck reach, shown in the left graph, is 89% of average. It is compared to the highest and lowest peak snowpack over the last 30 years, as well as the average snowpack for the reach. The mountain snowpack in the Fort Peck to Garrison reach, shown in the right graph, is 91% of average. It is important to note that about 75 to 80% of the accumulation period has elapsed, with mountain snowpack typically peaking in mid-April. Next slide. So on this final slide, this graphic provides a status update on the Upper Missouri River Monitoring Network as more stations were completed last year. There are now 295 of the 540 total sites completed and transmitting data, with another 170 scheduled to be installed in FY25 and 26. All stations are scheduled to be installed by 2027. Each station is designed to measure meteorological data, precipitation, snow depth, soil moisture, and soil temperature at 5 different depths. Data provided by the stations help improve products such as the no-risk snow map shown on previous slides and inform our runoff forecast. So in summary, the 2025 calendar year runoff forecast is 22.1 million acre feet, which is 86% of average. I will now turn the webinar over to Mike Swenson.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. Gavin's Point releases are currently at 12,000 CFS. Releases will remain at that rate through next week. Releases will be stepped up beginning on or around March 16th to provide flow support for navigation. Support flows will reach the mouth near St. Louis by April 1st. Releases will be adjusted as needed to meet the downstream targets. Garrison releases have been gradually reduced over the last week and are currently at 19,000 CFS. Releases will be reduced to 17,000 CFS by early next week and are expected to remain at that rate through March, downstream conditions permitting. Turning now to slide 24 here, system storage is currently at 50.5 million acre feet, 5.6 million acre feet below the base of the annual flood control zone. Moving on to the monthly simulations or the monthly studies, the basic simulation uses the runoff forecast that Kevin just discussed. Due to the amount of variability in precipitation and other hydrologic factors that can occur over the next several months, we also develop an upper and lower runoff that are then used in the upper and lower basic simulations. These simulations provide a range of reservoir elevations and releases that may be expected under the different runoff scenarios. The discussion to follow will focus on the basic or most likely runoff forecast. Information on the other simulations is posted on our webpage. Okay, on slide 25 here and looking at the upper three reservoirs, Fort Peck, Garrison, and Oahe are currently 6.9, 6.7, and 8.4 feet below the base of their respective flood control pools. As shown on the basic forecast, Fort Peck Reservoir is expected to peak near elevation 2231, about 4 feet higher than its current elevation. Peak releases are expected to average about 12,000 CFS this summer. Garrison Reservoir is expected to peak near elevation 1838, just slightly above the base of the flood control pool. Peak releases are expected to average about 24,000 CFS this summer. Oahe Reservoir is expected to fluctuate near its current elevation during the next few months. Peak releases are expected to average about 30,000 CFS this summer. Moving on to the next slide, the navigation service level and season length. The service level is used to determine releases from Gavin's Point to support navigation, and in combination with the bank stabilization and navigation project to help provide the downstream navigation channel. The navigation service level at the start of the navigation flow support season is typically based on the March 15th system storage. We are just a little more than a week away from the March 15th storage check, and it's likely that flow support for the first part of navigation will be 4,000 to 4,500 CFS below full service. For that level of service on the basic simulation, Gavin's Point monthly average releases range from approximately 25,000 CFS up to 30,000 CFS. The service level for the remainder of the navigation flow support season and the navigation season length are based on the July 1st system storage. Under the basic forecast, flow support for navigation would remain at approximately 4,500 CFS below full service after that July 1st storage check. And there would be a normal 8-month flow support season. Moving on to the next slide. As previously announced, there will be no test flows from Fort Peck Dam in 2025. Energy generation at the main stem dams under the basic simulation is 8.8 billion kilowatt hours. The long-term average is 9.4 billion kilowatt hours. And then on to the last slide here, which shows the Missouri River Basin weekly update, which is found on our website at the address shown at the top of the slide. This webpage gives a general overview of the current conditions in the Missouri River Basin and is updated weekly, usually on Tuesday mornings. That concludes my comments, so I'll turn it back to you, Eileen.
Thank you, Mike. So we'll move to the question and answer session. At peak, we had 83 callers on the line. I will go in alphabetical order by state, or if you choose, you can raise your hand using the WebEx application. Again, please state your name and the organization that you represent before asking your question. Star 6 to come off mute or use the unmute function on the computer. I don't see any hands up. We'll start with the state of Iowa. Kansas, Missouri.
This is Stacy Fowler with Waterways in Missouri. Just wanted to say thank you for doing this, and we appreciate this. My understanding is that we can expect a normal length of flow support, but possibly at a little bit lower than full flow support. So unless I'm wrong, I just wanted to say thank you again for doing this.
You're welcome, and you're correct.
Thanks, John. State of Montana. Nebraska. North Dakota.
Yes, hi, this is Rod Gilmore with Friends of Lakes Kakwea. I didn't catch, what was the projected summer outflow for Fort Peck?
Fort Peck daily average for the summer is 12,000 CFS under the basic runoff scenario.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any others? North Dakota? South Dakota, Wyoming, any others before I hand the call over to John for closing? Not seeing anything, John, it's yours to close.
Thank you, Eileen. We will be conducting public meetings here at the later this month and into April. That is all subject to the possible lapse in funding may affect that one way or the other. But right now, we're going to have meetings. We're going to have our lower basin meetings on April 19th. The morning meeting will be in Smithville, Missouri at the Smithville project.
John,
and then
March 19th.
Excuse me, March 19th, yes. And then late afternoon, early evening in Bellevue at the Bellevue University. Our upper basin meetings, again, due to some logistics concerns, we're only gonna have two or three. We'll have a meeting in Williston, North Dakota on March 31st. And we'll be a meeting in Pierre on April 2nd. We may possibly have an additional second meeting at Fort Thompson, South Dakota on the 2nd as well. We're still looking at the logistics of that. Again, these meetings are subject to a possible lapse of funding that may or may not affect our ability to conduct these meetings. Also, as we move through the end of the winter here and into the spring, flows in the river will be picking up. You need to be aware of that. I encourage everyone to monitor our website for information on releases and pool levels. Also, please pay attention to the weather forecasted and local conditions, as it can change fairly rapidly in the spring. Just remember that being on or near water is inherently dangerous. Changing river conditions, colder water, and the possibility of ice increase these risks considerably, so please be careful. With that, I'll offer one last chance for questions before ending the meeting. So if anybody else has any questions. Hearing nothing, again, thank you all for joining us, and we'll hopefully talk to you later this month. With that, I'll end the call.
That concludes today's call.